It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English, and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome to HowStuff Works Now. I'm your host, Lauren Vogelbaum, a researcher and writer here at HowStuff Works. Every week, I'm bringing you three stories from our team about the weird and wondrous advances we've seen in science, technology, and culture. This week, a suggestion has arisen for improving Trump's potential border wall, making it host to a hyperloop. And, unrelated, a study has found that there aren't enough calories in the human body to fully explain cannibalism. But first, senior writer and forward-thinking host Jonathan Strickland explores the controversy surrounding a United States Federal Bureau of Investigation facial recognition program. The Bureau has access to a huge number of Americans' photos, even those without criminal records, for use in criminal investigations.
If the FBI had an unlabeled photo of you and ran a search using facial recognition technology, do you think they'd find you? If you're an adult living in the United States, the answer is they'd have a 50-50 shot. We know that because Georgetown University's Center on Privacy and Technology researched law enforcement's use of facial recognition technology and found one in every two adult Americans has an image stored on some official agency's database. Some of the images in these databases are from criminal investigations, but others come from applications for licenses, official identification cards, security clearance forms, and other non-criminal sources. Depending upon the type of search, your photo could end up in an FBI virtual lineup without your knowledge. The practice is problematic for many reasons. Perhaps most troubling is there are no official laws or regulations that set parameters for conducting facial recognition matches. Each agency has its own set of guidelines, but they vary widely, and in many cases, there's little to no oversight. Critics say this could potentially violate Fourth Amendment rights, which protect against unreasonable search and seizure. To complicate matters, these various agencies rely on different software vendors for facial recognition technology. Most of these agencies have no system in place to audit the technology to make certain it is accurate. Several agencies require human analysts to look at potential matches between a probe photo and their search results. But Georgetown University's research showed humans make the wrong call on these matches 50% of the time. Chances are, you don't want the FBI investigating you for a criminal act because of a bad coin flip. There are a lot of other potential issues with facial recognition searches. In March 2017, Congress held hearings about the FBI's use of these databases. The discussion became heated, with members of both major political parties criticizing the implementation of facial recognition procedures without first establishing the legality of them in an investigation. It's likely that we'll see a call for regulating law enforcement's use of facial recognition software in the near future. That doesn't change the fact that for more than 5 years, the FBI has used this tech to identify and pursue investigative leads. But regulations will help prevent future misuse of a technology that has the potential to restrict civil rights to a significant degree.
Next up, staff editor Eves Jeffcoat and our freelance writer Michelle Konstantinovsky dig into one group's plans to give the proposed border wall between the U.S. and Mexico an extra dimension of speed. They want to use the structure to build a hyperloop.
In June, the Trump administration plans to announce 10 companies it wants to hire to build prototypes of its planned border wall between Mexico and the United States. A group of 14 Mexican and American engineers, urban planners, ecologists, and architects, dubbed the MADE Collective, hopes it will be among them. While dozens of private contractors likely took heed of the Customs and Border Protection's request for design prototypes depicting a solid, concrete barrier between nations, the MADE Collective offered an alternative, a hyperloop. A hyperloop is a type of mass transit that uses low-pressure tubes and transports people and goods at lightning-fast speeds. Based on SpaceX CEO Elon Musk's original concept, Hyperloop pods will hypothetically travel over 700 miles per hour, or about 1,100 kilometers per hour. In the MADE Collective's version, the Hyperloop system would stretch 1,250 miles, or 2,000 kilometers, from San Diego and Tijuana across the Texas-Mexico border. But this chunk of land wouldn't just be a standalone transit system, according to the MADE Collective's proposal. It would also become an entirely new territory called Otra Nation. That's right. In response to Trump's call for designs, the group offered to create an independent nation that the U.S. and Mexico share. The full proposal was submitted to both governments with the budget cost to the U.S. of about $10 billion to $15 billion. The MADE Collective's proposal also includes the additional $11 billion Trump has earmarked for the border wall to be reinvested into healthcare, education, and the arts in the United States. In addition to that, it proposes plans for stations throughout the Hyperloop network to serve people from all nations and for solar farms to power the system. The group's members laid out their full plan on a dedicated Otra Nation website, and they've also launched a change.org petition to replace the border's current fencing with this Hyperloop design. On its website, the group calls the Hyperloop plan a transnational New Deal and says it will be built on local economic empowerment, energy independence, and revolutionary infrastructure and transit. The group hopes the plan will get people on both sides of the border talking, but it remains unclear whether the proposed wall will ever be a reality. Trump initially assured Americans that he would stick Mexico with a construction bill, but he has since turned to Congress to ask for funding. The plan has also been the subject of skepticism and scrutiny from both Democrats and Republicans, and some people suspect U.S. taxpayers would actually be forced to foot the bill, which an MIT study estimates could cost anywhere from $27 billion to $40 billion.
Finally this week, staff editor Christopher Hasiotis and our freelance writer Lori L. Dove bring us the results of a slightly strange study. The researchers set out to discover exactly how nutritious human flesh is, and therefore how likely it is that ancient humans ate other ancient humans to survive.
By this point in our still young century, you've likely heard of the paleo diet thousands of times. That trendy regimen's name is short for Paleolithic, the Stone Age, and supposedly mimics the nutrition of ancient humans who lived about 10,000 years ago. Although it really doesn't, but that's another story. Cave people ate meats, seafood, nuts, and a few fruits and vegetables. Oh, and one other food source that doesn't show up on today's protein-focused food blogs. Other people. Archaeologists in Western Europe have evidence that the precursors to modern humans ate their neighbors during the Paleolithic era, particularly due to butchery marks found on human bones. Most experts, though, debate whether cannibalism was part of a balanced diet of our ancestral hominins, or whether it was something more ritualistic or ceremonial. To be classified as nutritional cannibalism, the people that Paleolithic clans ate needed to be, well, nutritious. So just how many calories are in a human thigh or an ear? Archaeologist James Cole of the University of Brighton in England wondered the same thing, and so, being a scientist, he decided to find out. Think of the diagrams of cattle and pig that illustrate different cuts of meat you might see in a butcher shop. Cole mapped out the human body in much the same way, then determined the caloric count within each segment showing how much energy each would transfer to an eater if consumed, publishing his findings in the journal Scientific Reports. A human thigh, for instance, contains a hefty 13,350 calories, while the spleen offers up only a modest 130 calories. If you're more of a head and torso diner, that'll net you about 5,420 calories. And those upper arms? 7,450 calories total. Overall, the average human body has anywhere from 125,000 to 144,000 consumable calories. Some parts may take longer to digest. You'll rack up 10,280 calories from human skin alone, while others are snack-sized like the kidneys, containing just 380 calories. The brain, spinal cord, and nerves, we're thinking a stew might be the most appropriate cooking method for that, will provide you 2,700 calories, and human bones contain about 25,330. Bone broth is so on trend right now, after all. Despite all this talk of ancient eating habits, Cole concluded that other humans were probably not a regular meal of choice eaten for nutritive value. Disappointment is other people, after all, and it turns out that that holds true for nutrition, especially when compared to competing available food sources. The carcass of one single woolly mammoth, for instance, contains a whopping 3.6 million calories and would have given an entire tribe food for about 8 weeks. A human, on the other hand, would have provided enough calories for a tribe to subsist on for only a half day, leaving everyone to wonder what's for dinner after just a few hours. Cole concludes that because of the relatively meager calorie counts of the human body, people ate other people only for social or cultural reasons, not for their own health. Modern paleo dieters, be glad the recipe books skip this particular ingredient.
That's our show for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Further thanks to our audio producer Dylan Fagan and our editorial liaisons Christopher Hasiotis and Allison Loudermilk. Subscribe to Now for more of the latest science news, and send us links to anything you'd like to hear us cover. Plus, who's your favorite Star Wars character? I might be seriously in love with 000 from the Darth Vader comics. Let us know. You can send us an email at nowpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And, of course, for lots more stories like these, head on over to our home planet, now.howstuffworks.com.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.